Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Ready to ditch the turf? Murph has some ideas for you. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
We have a question that was submitted online at wglt.org/grow from Andriana of Normal. And she says she wants to trade in her grass lawn for alternate perennial, very low maintenance landscape materials. But she's concerned if this is legal or not. She wants to know if the town of Normal allows mulch and planting on previous front lawns. And Murph, she wants some ideas about what you can offer for this growing zone, for zone 5, which is what we're in here.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, a lot of times we are asked this question. We've had similar questions asked of us so far.
Mm-hmm.
About what can we trade out in exchange for a lawn. And a lot of times the low maintenance part of it is a little bit in conflict with it. So we do give up mowing and putting fuel in a mower or recharging the battery on a mower if you have that kind of battery-operated mower.
Or sharpening the blades,
right.
And all
There's
that stuff that goes into it.
String trimming, all that stuff, raking leaves, raking grass blades. When you have a lawn that's made up of something other than turf, I liken it to many other do-it-yourself projects around the house and in the yard.
Yeah.
And it's the prep. It's the prep that's no fun. So if you paint, right, you have to put the tape down and the tarp and everything, and that takes longer than painting the room does, right,
mm-hmm.
Once you're slinging the paint. That's the same thing for setting up your landscape. Of course, Grow Corporate requires us to mention that this should include a plan. Plans
yes.
are great because they prevent duplicitous work. They give you a record of your ideas, et cetera. But what do you trade for no mowing to prepare your yard for what do you have to do instead? Well, I think that if you did it all at once, for even a small yard,
mm-hmm.
you would be replacing the mowing time with constant weeding, tending, and watering. Because you have new plants, you have a new culture of plants in this area. There's going to be some significant work required in eradicating and eliminating the turf that you do have. So I think that there's a couple of key points that I can share with everybody that will keep them out of trouble with having a project that's, you know, too big to finish. You know, you bit off more than you could swallow. But it also keep you out of trouble with local ordinances, whether it's in this case, it's the town of Normal or other places. So many projects around the landscape are much about how well you prepare. As I was saying, and that's definitely the case with replacing turf
mm-hmm.
with some other kind of cover, vegetative cover. One should consider reducing their lawn in stages. That's something that requires a plan. So
yeah.
you have a logical stop and starting point for your project over the months and years that this might take. But installing new colonies of plants in your front landscape or anywhere in your landscape, it is a viable replacement for turf. And with the fashionable trends of edible landscapes and native plants.
And xeriscaping is so awesome.
Xeriscaping is really popular because, you know, rain's just not reliable,
mm-hmm.
even here in the Midwest, right? So that's something to keep in mind. And your lawn can also be positioned closer to the house in these stages, and that allows for ease and maintenance of the house. You preserve a path to keep your windows clean and things like that. So consider that.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week we have a question from Andriana in Normal, who wants to replace her grass lawn for an alternate perennial low maintenance ground cover. I should mention, I called the town of Normal and I
mm-hmm.
asked them if this is okay, if this is allowed, because every community is different. You must check with your community to see if this is allowable. It is in Normal because she wants to put some mulch and some plantings in, and that is allowed in the town of Normal. You can't just pave over your front lawn.
Right.
That's not allowed, but doing something like this is allowed in the town of Normal, and she wants to put some interesting plants in. And Murph, do you have any recommendations for her?
Yeah, I do, and when you're making this plan, and when you're thinking about what kind of presentation you want, I think a good way to start is just to look around where you live. Pick the finest landscape in the neighborhood nearest you and look at what's doing well there. That might be something instead of 3 to 5 of them planted in front of the landscape, you end up having a whole pickup truck full come to your house, and they're installed in the ground, and you're creating these colonies of plants.
Yeah, you always say it always is best to go with a colony.
Yeah, and that's how we see them in nature. That's mm-hmm. how we see it up close, and it's how we see it in the distance, right? As we view the world we live in, we see all these things up close and in the distance. And you want to know and have a real clear understanding of what are the general conditions that you're working with there. Is it hot and sunny? Is it hot and sunny in the morning and then it's in the shade the rest of the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Is the soil poor, or is it adequate, or does it drain really well and it's black in color? You know, you have to know all those things because you're going to have to come up with a palette of plants to fill in your plan with. So I mentioned a lot of times the lawn can be eliminated in stages. If you have lawn going up close to the house, that's the part that I recommend you keep the longest because it's going to allow for access to the house for maintenance and repairs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the part of the landscape that we look over. We look past it and over it.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're on your knees looking out the window with your eyeballs above the windowsill, you don't see what's really immediately below the window. And that's a logical place to have turf a lot of times.
Okay.
And then if the landscape is set out away from the house, you create these little pocket gardens where you can see the entire presentation from the windows of the house. And then the trick is from the opposite point of view. What's it look like for guests and passerbys? Does it look like a weedy mess? Because it might be legal, but you might have conflict with your neighbors if you put something together that's supposed to resemble the Great Kanza Prairie and you live in the middle of a neighborhood in Normal. That might look out of place.
Well, do you have any suggestions for plants that won't take up too much of her time, something that would be maybe sort of low-growing and pretty? And
sure, Laura. I think that let's just use the typical sunny yard because mm-hmm. we have more of those than shady, right?
Right.
It takes a long time for the trees to grow in and create shade. I would start by picking a palette of low, medium, and short plants. High, medium, and low plants. So your tallest plant would, say, be 5 or 6 feet tall. That could be some kind of structural plant, like, say, a bayberry.
Ooh.
Or a witch hazel, or some other kind of large woody plant that makes up the wings of your landscape, if you will, to help bring your house to scale on this lot.
Okay.
The medium could be a large vegetative perennial, like some daylilies are quite large,
mm-hmm.
but it could also be a smaller flowering shrubbery. The spirea is a big family. I know that they're kind of commonplace, but man, are they reliable and easy to find for replacements. That's another thing that that this person should think about is if they find something exotic and, you know, one of the batch doesn't make it, it's going to be hard to find a replacement. And then that last low cover,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's lots of perennial ground covers out there, but there are also lots of perennials that can be used as ground cover, and they're not necessarily in the ground cover category.
Yeah.
Bergenia is one that I don't see much of here in central Illinois, but it's one that we should consider. Fantastic summer flowers, an unusual large, round, glossy leaf.
Mm.
And but, you know, you can't walk on it. You got to have a little path to get in there and do the maintenance.
Maybe she could do some mulch paths around these beautiful low plants.
That's a good idea because you can even do those in a way so that they're hidden from the street view and you don't see them till you're up close to the door. That's a great idea.
Okay. Well, next week on GLT's Grow, thank you very much, Andrea, for your question. Next week, we'll have another question about buying gardening materials in bulk. I didn't know you could do that. I know you can buy chocolate in bulk because I do that, but we'll see about that. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, and submit it there. It's wglt.org/grow.